There were more than 10,000 patients on the wait list for a new liver in January. That's the second longest wait list for a new organ, behind those in need of a new kidney. The federal agency that tracks these numbers also reports there were more than 9,500 liver transplants performed last year. There's an ongoing conversation about some of the morals and ethics of liver transplants, specifically when it comes to liver damage caused by alcoholism. My co-host Mark Brody talked through this with Dr. David Beda, chair of the Department of Bioethics and Medical Humanism at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. And they started with the metrics used to determine who gets a new liver and who doesn't.
So in general, a person who is in need of a liver transplant goes through a variety of assessments. And medical criteria are identified, and there's several of those. So it all depends on the facility from which they are enrolled in. And the patients are looked at as it relates to how severe is their liver injury or liver disease, how long would it be before they actually found themselves on the trajectory to dying. How quickly does the facility think they can get a liver? And so there's many facets involved there. And then there's a committee of sorts where there is the transplant surgeon, the hepatologist, if it was a liver transplant, social services, social worker, psychology, psychiatry, medical ethics, internal medicine. It's a community of healthcare professionals who come together and really assess the patient to see where on the list that patient should be.
In terms of the type of liver disease a patient has, does it matter sort of in that rubric whether it is, for example, due to alcoholism or some other kind of ailment that the patient is dealing with?
No, for the most part, it's how bad the liver is and how deteriorated it is and how quickly the patient needs a liver transplant. So it's really not disease specific. It really is liver specific.
So what role then does alcoholism play in this? Because, you know, there's often criticism, I'm sure you've heard it, of patients who have liver disease because of alcoholism who then get transplants and maybe they're able to deal with their alcoholism, maybe they're not, but there's still sort of that criticism of, you know, that person, quote unquote, made a choice to do the things that they did. Why should they get a liver and maybe somebody who didn't do that isn't?
Right. So let's look at the ethics behind that. From many views, from the ethical perspective, being an alcoholic is a disease and should be looked at no differently than any other person with a disease who's entitled to treatment, cure, and care. So, for example, a person with type 2 diabetes who's on the realm of being obese, they've chosen to have a specific dietary menu that has moved them towards type 2 diabetes. It's a disease. And so we try to stay away from stigmatization and judgment and shaming those who have a disease and put them in a different category of saying you're not worthy of, for example, a liver transplant because you're an alcoholic. I think our primary role as physicians is to really understand the who is our patient, and in addition to understanding what our patient's disease is all about. So, you know, when we look at the aspects of alcoholism, it's a disease, it's an addiction. Is that any different than a person who is obese and has type 2 diabetes is not taking their medications, is not compliant, and then places a significant burden on health, on the healthcare allocated resources, which are scarce. So we look at it that way a little bit from the ethical and moral perspective. Essentially, a person is a person no matter what.
Is that sort of the universally accepted approach? I mean, are there still cases where somebody, for example, who may be struggling with alcoholism is not given a liver transplant because of that?
Yes, I can't tell you specifically, but I do know that that is the case in some places. We've heard and we've read about that, and we've discussed this on our ethics forums. that there is subjective bias, an unconscious bias from healthcare professionals who believe that if you're not going to take care of yourself, then we don't need to take care of you either. So it is out there. And what we try best to do is to stay away from that unconscious bias, that subjective bias, and at least have a neutral position when it comes to engaging with someone who does not follow, quote, the norm, and just embrace them for who they are.
Is a transplant, is this maybe an opportunity for a provider and a patient to have a conversation about, for example, you know, if a patient is struggling with alcoholism, to use the opportunity to get a new liver as a way to say, look, you know, we also need to treat the disease here. We need to treat the alcoholism. And that can maybe be sort of a new chapter for a patient, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the most part, most transplant facilities for a person who is an alcoholic will require 6 months of sobriety before they're even put on before a committee. They may be put on the transplant list, but you know, they're engaged with helping those patients to find a way to get through and past their addiction. So absolutely, it is a way to do so. No different, and again, I keep coming back to type 2 diabetes, you know, with your family physician and your internal medicine or endocrinologist. If you are obese and you're type 2, they're going to move you towards getting a better health situation by looking at diet, exercise, etc. So there is a move to engage with the patient to make sure that they understand and try and rectify and mitigate the reasons why they have that addiction. And if I can just make one comment, you use the word provider. We consider ourselves more of a healthcare professional than a provider. And I think there's this misconception that we provide anything the patient wants. And we don't necessarily do that. Physicians come across as being much more of a partner with patients, doing what we do best, and that is being present when present with our patients, understanding what their goals of care are, what their life experience is, what they're looking for, and how we best can help them.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Dr. David Beda is chair of the Department of Bioethics and Medical Humanism at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix.